You're listening to Rebuild America.
Back, you're listening to Rebuild America on the Revolution Radio Network. You know, folks, we have great group of guests today, and looking forward to talking to Steve Factor, author, innovator, and digital commerce expert on investing in the economy. And we're joined by Steve on the phone. Steve, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Exciting to be here. I'm still dancing. I didn't know you were going to turn off the music.
Well, you can still start. Keep dancing. You know, that's all right. We'll take the rhythm. Tell me, we're looking, as we named the show, Rebuild America.
Yeah.
To do things that I think that the Europeans have been doing for a while, and call me a communist, a socialist, a Marxist, whatever. I'd be glad to take it up. But they have universal health care. They have a cradle to grave to take care of their citizens. They are doing the right thing. How do you look at rebuilding America, and where do you think that we need to focus it? Are you with the president on what he has been talking about, making it in America? Are you with the president on high-speed rail and infrastructure issues? Where do you find yourself as somebody who talks about this?
It's interesting. The thing I avoid the most is pigeonholing myself into one viewpoint. I'm a pretty independent guy, and, you know, I kind of rank government on three levels. So at the worst bottom rung of government is, you know, a crony government where you have, you know, really powerful interests buying policy, which is a lot like what we have now. And certainly, you know, when you can have a super PAC, that's not good for individuals. So I think that's the worst situation. There's a lot lower ones, but let's not get into that. Let's say in the U.S. The second level is probably less government, right? Because if it's going to be crappy, I'd rather have less of it. At the top level is a good, benevolent, effective government. So to me, that is possible. And you look at places like Singapore, which are extremely well-run. You look at parts of Europe, like Germany, for example, extremely balanced, well-run market. And, you know, obviously they're subject to some of the issues that Europe is under with the euro and the potential collapse of the currency. But, you know, realistically, I think there's a mix. You know, I love what the president is doing with Startup America, for example. I think that could have a lot of great impact, but on only certain types of startups. So I think that, you know, there's a broader picture to be painted. So I think some Republicans have some good ideas but don't want to play nicely. Some Democrats have great ideas, but maybe they're not as forceful in pushing them through. And, you know, you mentioned health care. So I think there's a great business case to be made for health care that I never hear anyone talking about. And it drives me nuts that I don't. And that is that, think of all the people who are not leaving their jobs to start their own business because they're afraid that their family could be bankrupted if someone gets sick. So there is a numerical, mathematical business case for liberating those people from those jobs and starting their own businesses. And the reason I think small business is a big part of the answer is just the math of small business. So, for example, if you have 10 small companies as compared to one giant corporation, those 10 small companies all have a management team. They all have a human resources department. department. They all have an accounting department. That's not efficiency. It's exactly the opposite of efficiency. But that's where jobs in a really developed society come from, because there's no more jobs working the fields generally. That's all automated. There's no more jobs standing at assembly line, certainly not the way there used to be. So when you have a really automated society, it's that inefficiency that comes with small business that gives you the numbers and the math to do it. And healthcare, I think, is a huge liberator of those people who are now not leaving those jobs because they're afraid.
Fascinating stuff. We're talking with a good friend, and I think this is an interesting perspective here, folks. Many people, sometimes just don't think outside the box, and I think our guest is definitely doing that. Give me your perspective here on where we are, Steve. I was talking to Steve Fackfor, and author, innovator. Do we start in your mind educating young people to start in their 20s of looking at their own businesses, entrepreneurs? I think that there is a way you can have somebody who's both an entrepreneur and somebody who wants to help the community. I mean, I think we're never going to be able to do it if it's all about I, and sometimes entrepreneurs are all about I and not about we. And
that's a great point. In fact, you said 20. I'm going to say 10. So I think it needs to start that early and maybe even earlier. So, one of the things that I wrote about in my book, Econovation, which just came out, the overarching theme of the book is the transition from consumerism to producerism. Right. And so what I mean by that is having a maker mentality. And here's a very practical example. So kids right now, the littlest kids are used to picking up an iPad and just, moving their fingers across this perfect landscape where everything is perfectly sculpted and it's easy, right? And anyone can do it. And they get accustomed to interfacing with things that are perfect. Well, that's not how life works, because we don't know how that thing came to be perfect, all the hard work that needed to go into it, all the making that needed to go into it. And, I talked about I have a chapter in the book called Making Makers, which is all about rethinking education. And I talk about a woman in Brooklyn who is a carpenter, and she started up a business where she does shop class for kindergartners. And that sounds crazy to people. Like, are you going to give a hacksaw to a little girl? And she does, under supervision, and she teaches them. And you know what? It's the kind of job that, or the kind of education where you don't need a grade, because whatever you build, it either stands up or falls over. And you also start embedding into their mentality and into their behavior this idea that I can build something. I don't have to wait for someone else to do it for me. I don't have to wait for someone to change my tire. I don't have to wait for someone to create a job for me. I can go and try it myself, or maybe even work for free for a while until I prove myself or acquire a certain level of skill. So it's that psychology that needs to start really young, and that's an example of a woman who started a business and is doing that and embedding that mentality, and I think it's just so important.
Fascinating stuff. Steve Fackfor, author, innovator, and digital commerce expert, is our guest. Open up the phone lines, 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234. Let me ask you this. Do you sense that that we are in a society today that we're scared, of something that we don't do, that we haven't done before? And is it a psychological thing, talking about educating 10-year-olds, but re-educating those who are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, to say, you can do this. You can change.
That's such a great question, because when you think about the difference between, you know, I know people who spend a lot of their days or a lot of the time during the day in what I call savings mode, which means they're chasing a coupon online, they're looking for the best deal for a couple of hours online to save, you know, maybe $30, $40. Now, in some cases, you absolutely need it if it's a necessity, but a lot of times it's for a big screen TV, you have a 42-inch, you want to get to a 52-inch, and, you know, that 2 hours that you spend finding the perfect coupon is a debilitating 2 hours, because that's 2 hours you could have invested in maybe learning something that could help you with a business, or researching something to, you know, to start maybe a little, you know, a shop. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. I have a friend who is a personal trainer and a nutritionist, and, you know, she needed space to do some of her coaching and nutrition counseling. And one of the things I told her, I said, well, why would you want to pay for space? Why don't you go to approach doctors who have offices in multiple locations, and there are days where their office is just empty. Why not just negotiate with the doctor and see if he'll let you use it for free, and maybe you can swap referrals for him? And that's exactly what she did. It took a little bit of legwork, but she was able to negotiate a way for this doctor to give her free space that now doesn't come out of her pocket in exchange for referrals. And he's doing the same thing with her. So it helps both parties, but you need that extra bit of effort to say, you know what, I'm going to go and try to make something like that happen. It's unusual. It's not something that there's no website that helps you find free doctor's offices, but she did it.
Yeah, I think you're so right. And how many times have we spent an hour trying to do something like that, you know, trying to find a TV or just trying to find, you know, something, a gift for your friend or whatever. And you're spending endless, and as opposed to doing something that's a bigger picture. And I think that's really what needs to be done. I saw an ad the other day, some breaking news here. I just heard some, and John Sapochetti will have more on this tomorrow. Gary Carter, famous baseball player, was part of the Red Sox demise in 86, died today at age 57. This is another great athlete, great entertainer. Whitney Houston dying last week at another earlier age, too. Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, it's just really sad to see in this, with the city now is lit up by this Jeremy Lin guy is just brightening up a lot of people
fire.
In New York. Yeah, he certainly is. I saw an article about everything being a coffee shop, and that that the whole world is going to be a coffee shop, and the concept is that, you know, it's something that. If you can, you know, if you can get a deal with a coffee maker, you can have your own coffee shop, and you bring your friends over. They have their laptops or their iPads, as I do, and you can do what you want. And in a lot of ways, we've become that because there is always a need for that, people to gather, people to talk, people to enjoy. And, you know, we're doing our remote tomorrow from Birch Coffee. And, you know, they have that kind of clientele where, you know, people come there every day because they get great food, they get great coffee, they get great grilled cheese sandwiches in the afternoon, so now you get a lunch crowd. And people do whatever. They bring their laptops and, you know, get free Wi-Fi, and here you go. And it's just a gathering place. I think it's a great concept in a lot of ways, and it's a ways that, you know, it's not just about a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts where it's not one or two companies. It can be anybody's. Your thoughts about that as we go to end the segment.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. In fact, I used the term somewhere in a connovation where I wrote that we've turned into a country of nail salons. But if everyone has a nail salon, then how do you sell your service to other people? So, you know, there's a finite level to this. And you know, I'll put it in economic terms. We have freed up a lot of leisure time. So the time we're not spending in factories, on farms, living in some more subsistence-oriented environment, we have liberated to have recreation. So we have this recreation surplus relative to the rest of the world, because 24% of the planet is still in deep poverty in terms of population. So if you look at it, we are just we have so much more free time, and you do enable a lot of apps to be built and sold. You enable a lot of gadgets to be built and sold, and a lot of entertainment devices and entertainment locations to pop up.
Right. 20 seconds, Steve. We got 20 seconds left. No, I think you're so right. It opens the doors to so many ideas and so many concepts. I really appreciate it. Steve Factor, FAKTOR. If you want to Google him, and a website, Steve.
It's ideafactory.com, and there it's a K for factory.
There you go. Thanks so much, Steve. All the best to you. This is Jeff Sanchez. I want to thank the folks at Argo Studios here in Midtown Manhattan. A reminder to listen to WWRL tomorrow. You can check out revolutionboston.com for a phone number, 4 to 6 a.m. We'll be at Birch Coffee on 27th and Park. Thanks, Stevie G, Kristen Marks, John Sapicetti, Sarah Billingsley, APBU, and Amy S. for this broadcast, helping putting it together. This is Jeff Santos. Gotta go!